Laisse-moi venir chez toi.
Anne, c'est terminé. J'ai le cœur sec de toi.
Vous savez, quand on s'oublie avec l'autre, les autres, qu'on ne sait plus où on est, une forme d'amour en quelque sorte. Puissant. Brasse. Sans limite. Ça vous est jamais arrivé?
Votre acteur a été poignardé. Une mort particulièrement violente.
Carl venait de tourner dans un de mes films.
Quel genre de film exactement?
Oh, arrêtez votre charme. Faites pas coup, des types, ils sont pas renseignés. T'es un super beau mec, tu sais.
Vous faites quoi?
Je suis productrice de films érotiques. La seule chose, c'est que parfois on manque de filles. Alors on fait ça entre mecs. Tu appelles-moi demain matin.
Détective Rachid, j'écoute.
Je crois que je vais changer le titre du film. Le tueur au mot. Vous en dites quoi?
Tu me trompes ou tout ça te fait ni chaud ni froid?
Alors comme ça, vous n'avez aucune piste? Vous attendez que tous mes acteurs crèvent pour vous mettre au boulot?
Personne veut tourner avec nous, ils sont tous terrifiés.
Il y a bien un indice. Près des deux premiers cadavres, on a retrouvé des plumes du même oiseau.
Plus attentive à tes rêves. Ils sont là pour t'aider.
C'est cet amour qui est trop pour moi. Ça me rend dingue, tu comprends?
Hello everyone, welcome to a bonus episode of Horrorsperia. My name is May.
And I'm Clinton, and we are broadcasting straight from inside of May's car in the parking lot outside of an Alamo Drafthouse cinema.
In Woodbridge, Virginia.
In Woodbridge, Virginia, in case you want to come and be where we were. But in any case, we're here because...
we saw Knife and Heart, Knife Plus Heart.
Knife Plus Heart.
Directed by Yann Gonzalez. It's a French film that was released last year in major festival circuits in the U.S., but it is now in a limited distribution throughout the United States.
Yeah, so it's a little hard to see at this point, but if you do a little bit of Googling, you might find it playing somewhere near you.
Yeah, specifically, if you go to the Altered Innocence website, they have information on the screenings. They're all being done in 70mm. The film was shot on film, which is very rare nowadays. It has a fun little music video right before it.
So we're going to try to keep it spoiler-free here for the first bit.
Yeah.
There's a little music video at the beginning.
Yeah, which is crazy. I could already tell Clinton was going nuts.
I was like, I was scared. I didn't know what I was getting into.
And then after the first opening scene, in Alamo Draft Houses, you're not allowed to even talk. But Clinton had enough balls to lean into me and go, this movie might be too scary for me.
I was freaking out. I legit almost had a panic attack after the first murder. And I was then, you know, once I kind of calmed down a bit, I was thinking, oh, that would have been great marketing for them if they were like, grown man leaves the theater and like sobs in the corner from this movie. So yeah, I was thinking about like an exit plan.
I don't think I've ever seen him look that scared.
I was so scared.
No, yeah. So, Knife Plus Heart, we wanted to if you guys, we've talked about it a bit on the pod, but if you guys don't know, it's about this female pornographer, basically. It's everyone in here's gay. She's a lesbian, but she makes adult male pornography, gay pornography, and basically all of her actors start dying, and so she's like making a film about the stuff going on while also trying to do the investigation as well as dealing with a major breakup in her life. And yeah.
Yeah, it takes place in the 70s.
70s, Paris, 1979 Paris.
Yeah, so it has that feel to it.
Yes, but what does it remind you of? What
it movement? Reminds me of the Giallo movie. Yes.
And M83 did the score, and specifically, and I recently read an interview, he said that he watched a bunch of Giallo films to get the score down right. And I mean, it was an excellent score.
Yeah. It really, aside from some of the modernness, it really could have taken place.
Oh yeah. You know, there was definitely like a twist to it, especially towards the end. But yeah, so I guess we're gonna talk about first impressions, spoiler free.
Yes.
I knew going in that it would have to really suck for me not to like it. And I was right. It was definitely worth it. We had to drive an hour to come to this Alamo because that's how, it's not even playing in DC. It's only playing in the Alamos in Virginia. And it was definitely worth the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost, there's something about the exclusivity too. Like you can only see it in this one place that makes it even a little bit more exciting. And and it feels a little bit like an outlaw film, right? Because it is so,
yeah, I don't think ever since Grindhouse I've seen a film where I'm like, yeah, this is definitely like the nitty-gritty underground, like, because you rarely get to see those films in theaters. Every single time we watch a film usually is on our home video.
Yeah.
So I really am glad that we had the opportunity to see it in that format because it really benefited from the whole atmosphere.
Yeah. Before the movie, May, you did tell me about a wave of French cinema that like really hyper violent.
Oh my goodness.
And I was worried because when this movie started and the violence started, I was like, no.
So one thing, we're gonna let you know when we go into spoilers, but one thing that actually was really well done is that for most of the film, there's not a lot of violence, actually. It's like about 75% violence-free in a way.
Yes.
But then the moments of violence are extremely particular.
Yes.
Which is not like I was telling him, he's paying attention, I'm so proud. What I was telling him earlier was in the 2000s, so like 2000 to 2010, there was this wave in France called the New French Extremity, where it was just the most brutal films ever. So I'm talking about High Tension, Martyrs, Inside. One of those has a skinning done in 10 minutes. Another one has a 13-minute rape scene. Another one has a fucking live C-section, you know? So,
oh my God.
Yeah, no, these were very extreme films, but they kind of died out. And I wanted to go into this blind. I knew who directed it. But I didn't feel like it was going to go that way. And I am glad it didn't go that way because it felt like every scene had a purpose, which is usually not the case when we talk about New French Extremity films. So I thought, other than that's just so cool to see like this LGBT film and it not be treated as like that weird, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
It was their normal.
Right. And there was still, I was worried. Again, I did a lot of worrying, but I always do a lot of worrying. So, but there was some levity too, which I was really grasping onto because what I learned about myself watching this was that I've never seen a movie where the sexual violence really hit me.
Right, because most of the victims are male.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Welcome to our world, Clinton. Yeah. This movie should be billed. Hey.
Someone's trying to see if we're leaving, but we're not leaving. We're recording a podcast, obviously. It's the year 2019. What do you think's happening in this parked car?
Oh my God, it was so weird. That guy just pulled up and stared at us. Okay, I'm sorry. No, but yeah. So since, you know, all of her actors are gay actors, the violence in this film, for the most part, is extremely male. So I actually, that's actually, now you know how we feel.
Was it easier for you because it was male? Or?
Yeah, I wasn't as scared as you, honestly.
Oh man, I was dying.
I told you. Now you know how it feels. Whew. This is now the answer to horror, guys. Nice. We need more gay horror films.
Yeah.
More things going on. I don't want to spoil any of the kills because there's actually not that many kills in it. Mm-hmm. I think there will be enough kills to satisfy slasher fans. But the good one thing, and I know not to call Clinton out, he hasn't heard the new podcast yet, but we mentioned it in the new podcast that
This is the episode
with me and Gabby.
And it's called
The Final Girl episode. We just put it up. I said in there that it is rare that we get to care about the victims before we learn about the killer in slasher films. And this movie did a really great job of doing that. It had the classic opening scene, but then after that, we really got to know every single character before these things really started happening. It was really a strong character film.
Yeah. That's interesting. I see what you're saying.
And now we know that, man, now you know how it feels. Woo! It freaks you out.
I was like, God damn. If this was on the small screen too, it wouldn't be as bad for me. You saw it
on film.
But on the big screen,
no, and it went there.
I was thinking like,
it went there.
I was like, give me Pet Cemetery. Like, This is real.
Yeah, I will say they could have it was a bit classily done too. They could have, like, especially that opening scene.
Yeah.
They could have, you know, shown worse.
Yes. But I wouldn't have watched because I had the hands up. Hands up.
So what were your overall thoughts?
I love the story. I love the cast. I am so shooketh by by the murders, the first few murders. Yeah, and I learned something about myself, you know?
That's always good, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
But really, I'm not just saying I liked it because it was fun, because, you know, we're watching a movie together.
Right.
You know, and it's a movie that is new and has a great soundtrack or whatever.
Right.
The acting was really good.
Yeah, Vanessa Paradis killed it.
Is that the lead character?
Yeah. She's Johnny Depp's ex-wife.
No way.
Yeah, that's Lily Rose Depp's mom.
Ex-wife of Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he was the one.
She's killing it.
Yeah, he was the one that he left. He left her for Amber Heard.
Gotcha. Wow.
So they were together for like 12 years. Yeah.
Also, I love a gap. So if someone has a gap,
Vanessa Paradis has a gap.
A gap for me is like ASMR. I could watch somebody with a gap. Some of my best friends have gaps. Like, I love
good to know
gaps. Everyone had a look, and
the cinematography was top notch. Like, was stunning, beautiful. Every scene in that. I'm really a really big kind of like film image nerd. Like, for reference, you probably won't get this reference, but for the film nerds out there, I like Only God Forgives, and no one likes Only God Forgives. And if you ask me why I like Only God Forgives, it's only because I love how that movie is shot. And this movie was no less incredible. It was completely beautiful. I still am hesitating on saying whether I loved it, but I will say that that's just only because I feel like there's a lot to process in it, and I think we need to talk about that in the spoiler section.
Should we go to the spoiler section? Okay. Or should we say anything else?
I mean, definitely watch it.
Who do you recommend it for?
Recommend it if you're into slasher films. Anyone that's a horror fan will really like it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, It like he said, there's a lot of moments of levity. It's a lot of fun. If you're a homophobe, especially watch it. I don't know. And they're definitely, I will say, if you're thinking of, oh yeah, let me take my parents to this, don't.
Yeah.
There is a lot of sex, which I actually liked, not because I'm a fucking whatever, but I liked it because it was realistic. Nothing about this film felt gratuitous. Yeah, I'm sure people will call it a gratuitous film, but given the settings, given who they were, given the intentions, nothing about this film felt exploitative.
Right, yes. It did feel more emotional.
It was a super emotional film, and I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't sure what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting, like, I got a little teary at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw that.
Oh, fuck you.
I was like, wow, this baby over here.
You okay.
Can't even watch the movie without crying.
All right, okay, so this is now your warning. Woo!
Spoilers.
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 So that first scene is a castration scene.
The first scene is a castration scene.
It was the rectum scene.
The rectum scene.
Right. Oh, my God. I've never seen Clinton turn that white before.
Woo! I was... My body was... My soul left my body.
Okay. I think what I want to talk about the most is the ending.
Yes. Do you mean the credit? Like,
so there is kind of an after credit scene. It goes on during the credits. And usually I get a little antsy during those. But I was like, you know what? This was worth it. So we stayed. And... it added such another level to the film that I'm not sure I even understood what was going on.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Right.
Right. Where it was essentially like a credit scene. I mean, as an American audience, we're used to like the post credits, like Marvel movie. And I know you don't see a lot of Marvel movies, but every Marvel movie has like two post credit scenes. And
is just crazy.
This was like a during credit scene.
Yeah, it was.
That was awesome. And it was awesome. It was artfully done.
It brought a little closure. Because my main complaint, if we hadn't had that scene, is I was like, why did Lois have to die? You know?
Yeah.
But I was glad that we were able to get some closure.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, everything then goes black.
Yeah.
What do you think that meant?
So I'm thinking that this is just the in the car on the ride home version.
Right. Of processing. We really do think that we need to process it. Like, I want to read reviews. I want to read analyses. Right. Well, I want to read interviews.
That being said, I'm pretty smart. So by the time I get in my car, I've probably got a pretty good hold of it. What I'm going to say is I think that whole scene to me is like her getting back to whatever the next movie she shoots is. And, you know, not being able to forget her love. And then the lights going out is that kind of like the reality, which is that when the lights go off, you know, she's still gone.
That's pretty good.
What do you think?
I think that's a really neat way. It might just be it. Because here's one thing about the French. They hate explaining their movies. So I'm going to look for interviews later. And I don't really expect this guy to be like, oh, what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
To me, I actually got a darker reading out of it.
Okay.
I got a reading that there will always be that threat.
There'll always be the threat of what?
Of
a serial killer?
Not so literal, but you could read that, but like they will always feel some vestige of unsafe. I do like your reading though, because the very last frame is them smiling.
That's
even
true.
Though the lights turned off.
Yeah.
Because the lights turned off, everyone looks like really anxious and ominous. And I was ready for, I don't know, fucking twin to
the
hop
murderer.
Out. Yeah. But, you know, I liked it though.
Yeah.
Because it added another dimension. It was just such a well thought out film.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think it's actually given me more pause when you think more about it.
Mm-hmm.
The only other complaint, and this is not really a complaint, it was just kind of an interesting choice to me. They kind of build up this backstory of the killer a little bit mm-hmm. in the last half.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally get him and they just kill him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was actually really funny.
Yeah.
But like, and then afterward I was like, guys, we should have asked him a couple questions.
Oh, you think so? Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what I would have done. I would have been like, okay, we can like kill him.
Yeah.
But can we just like ask him what he's been doing?
Yeah.
You know? That's
funny you had that thought. I thought it was cathartic.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
And
especially because it wasn't the personal victims that killed him. It was just the people in the cinematheque.
Right. So it's so, especially for somebody who is killing
gay people. Right.
For then a cinema full of
gay people to kill him.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Right. So I was actually kind of, I didn't expect it.
I didn't expect it either. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to the final scene though, I'm obsessed with things that are just slightly different and almost easy in retrospect, little film tricks that make a big impact. And for me, that made a big impact to have the credits start to roll and then all of a sudden hit you with another scene.
It was definitely beautiful. Everything about this film was a masterclass in filmmaking, quite honestly, you know. And that's why I'm so impressed by it, because I was even willing to accept that it would be kind of like a dumb story.
Uh-huh.
And not like it would be more of a visual thing.
The intro music video, if you watch it and you get to see that thing that played for us before the movie, that was dumb. That was silly. That was
so silly. Was definitely, but I mean, it was a music video. But I will say, especially when you don't know much about what you're going in to see, when you see something and it's like billed as a music video, you're like, oh, is this what I'm supposed to expect?
Yeah.
But no, it's clearly just like fun, you know?
Were those the same actors at all or no?
No, they weren't the same actors. Different. This is kind of a fun fact. It doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but
Perfect for the podcast.
But, I know that this is a passion project because the, M83,
mm-hmm.
he's the brother of the director.
Did the music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's the brother of the director.
Of the director. They're brothers. Wow. So okay. I do think, and the reason I bring that up is the music video was directed, you know, by the director. And obviously the music was written by the brother.
Gotcha.
I definitely feel like this was most likely a very strong passion project. And that's what the whole feel of the movie is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, these little narrative, like, nuances aside and, like, small things here and there that kind of irk me in general, I think that this is a film that, one, should be watched, and two, there is a lot of different readings in it. We kind of have a final girl, you know, at the end, mm-hmm. even though thankfully, I'm glad that not everyone gay dies, you know, because that's always such a trope. But I'm glad that we were able to get some closure out of that. Mm. And I'm glad that it was a film with a message.
What'd you think about the scene? There's a scene of sexual assault where our main character, who's so lovesick over her ex.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that as a part of the story?
That was also another kind of weird scene. But I also saw the justification for it in a way. But in a way, though, like, you know, it's kind of, it does put a weird slant to it. I think if I were to criticize any scene in that film, it would mm-hmm. probably be that scene, because mm-hmm. it kind of romanticized the moment.
Yeah.
Because what happens afterward is Lois tries to save her, you know. And so that was the only thing that kind of made me feel awkward. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, being aware of French culture and things like that, I know that that was not the intention of the scene, but it shouldn't have,
mm-hmm.
you know, had that slant. So, you know, it's not a perfect film by far, but I think the lesson here is that these are the types of stories that should be made more. You know, I think that it had such a fun twist. I would want to see a lot more films, you know. I would love to see a take on a gay slasher film from Korea, you know, or from Kenya, or I mean, probably not Kenya because it's illegal. But you know, like, I it left me wanting more of the type. Yeah. And the thing that's probably sad, and I hope it's not sad, I hope this does do well. But the thing that's probably sad is that this is probably a film that's gonna be, it's one of a kind for a couple of years, if not longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody tries. I mean, the question is who, but could is there somebody that you could think of who could do an American?
I don't think so. This film is way. I think even if you were to, like, recut a lot of it, I think even art house theaters, they don't want to show this kind of stuff. I think this film gets a lot of pass because it's French, you know, and a lot of people do expect kind of kookier, you know, films.
Yeah.
I think, because you have to think, how's it going to get financed?
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, like, and usually, I mean, I'm not saying that there are no, like, gay billionaires or millionaires or gay rich people, but it's just kind of like, you know, it's a risk that not you know, we're not just really an American, we're not really like a cinema bred society. You know, mm-hmm. it takes a very specific kind of subset of group, and they usually want a return, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if a film like this is going to make a return. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I really did like it. Like, at the end of the day, even, you know, weird contradictions aside, French kind of shit aside.
Yeah, yeah.
Because usually French films, I'm always like, God, it's so French. And, I mean, this film was very French, but yeah. It was French in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Can you tell us anything else really quick about the director? Because I don't know. I'm not
Yan Gonzalez. So, I mean, the director is Yan Gonzalez. I actually have not seen anything. I can do a quick Google. Why don't you tell us what was some of your favorite scenes?
Well, there's a character. So if you're listening to the spoiler section, then, you know, you don't mind me telling you about, or you already know because you saw it. The character Golden Mouth. I thought he did a great acting job.
Oh, and he was funny.
He's the fluffer on the set.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's not a young, hot guy like everybody else. So he is, I don't know, he's a sympathetic character, even though he's a fluffer and he has a simple job. Well, you know, a hard job, but a simple job. And yeah, just the characters that filled out the movie that were like him, that brought a lot of character to the movie. Maze, trying to get some info here. What
so,
you got?
All right. So I wanted to especially look this up
uh-huh.
because I had a feeling, mm-hmm. but you can never really tell, especially with the French.
Yeah.
So this is Yan Gonzalez's second film. His first was called You in the Night, 2013. It says mm-hmm. that it's about a young couple and their vivacious transvestite mate prepare for an orgy, but before the fun can begin, the guests must get to know each other. Sounds like something we should probably watch.
Sounds about right.
It says it's a drama fantasy.
Okay.
So this is his second film. Wow, it has a 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. That's higher than what this film is at.
What's this film at? Do you remember?
I think it's at a 74, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
Anyway, but he is gay.
Okay.
And I had a feeling that he probably was, because a lot of that stuff felt so authentic.
Yeah.
You know? It like... you know, other than me being gay myself, I have a lot of gay friends, like gay male friends, and having been to all of their clubs and things like that and being around all those people for it since I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
it just like it felt so authentic to like the culture and everything. Oh, actually this has an 81%. It's still okay. very okay. good.
So, Knife and Heart has an 81%?
Yeah, and okay. the other one has a 90%.
All right, so you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. No, this is definitely... I'm so glad that we saw it together. It was released directly to What We Do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't die.
You didn't die.
But I almost died.
You now know what it's like to
Holy
have constant
crap.
Female violence. Yeah. So now it's male violence.
Wow.
I need to write to Jan. Thank him.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Any final thoughts?
I think that's a wrap.
So we like it. I think if I had to give it stars, I would give it a 4.
Okay. Out of how many?
5.
Woo. I can't. I gotta come up with a different
next podcast will tell us. Which next podcast we're doing. What are we doing again?
Korean horror.
Yeah. And we'll be getting that to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So have a great life.
Have a great life. Go see Knife and Plus Heart. Knife and Heart.
Knife and Plus Heart.
Okay. Bye guys.
Bye.